I trust we've already been experiencing the spiritual showers as we just are beginning to receive the physical showers as well. I've been blessed by being here. I sort of echo Ernest's thoughts this morning that I feel like I appreciated the spiritual understanding and comprehension of everything I've heard this morning from our devotions this morning. I really appreciated those thoughts and I think at the close of Brother Clyde's prayer, he brought attention to the natural blessings and the physical blessings that we experience. And my message is sort of along the lines of looking at both of those. I greet you in Jesus' name and the great Lord of the church, our Savior, our Redeemer, soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All of that is part of who He is. And I welcome you to sort of join in with me as we try to look at the Word and understand it a little bit better this morning and be taught and instructed. I feel the need of some more of that. I want to think about vision for a little bit this morning, and I want to talk about, maybe I'll just start here with our eyes. This morning, you can see me. I don't think there's anyone here that's blind this morning physically, so each one of you, we won't ask you what it looks like when you take off your glasses for those of you who need that kind of aid or your contact lenses or whatever it might be. But this morning you can see me. You're looking at me with two eyes. Each one of you has two eyes as well. And you see my hand movements. You maybe see the expression of my face. Last night, I was outside a little towards late sunset. The sun was just to the west yet, and I was able to see those things which were very close to me. At the same time, I was able to see the blinking lights of a jetliner at 35,000 feet, and then I was also able to see the heavens, the stars, all with these eyes. This morning, like I said, you can look at me. You can see here above me where somebody had maybe put some screws into the wall, and then they puttied it back shut with some white, so you can see the whiter putty up there, and you also can see that it's still indented. Not only can you see that, you have depth perception. You can see there's some shadowing there. That tells you that if you ran your finger over that, you would feel a bump. There's an indentation there. I'm going to read this about what someone said about our eyes. I'll just read this to you. Someone else put this together. It was so well written that I just pulled it off, and I'm going to share it with you this morning. You think your digital camera is complex? Think for a moment about all the parts of your eye. Start with the sclera, the outer part of your eye that holds this little ball of jelly together. I don't know if you ever poked your eye, but it is sort of that ball of jelly. That's why it can take a baseball to the eye, and it can handle that. The outer part of the eye, think of the cornea, the transparent front of your eye that lets light in, or the iris, the adjustable part of your eye that controls the amount of light that actually gets into your eye, or the retina, the projection screen of your eye that receives all of this light, and or the optic nerve that carries the light signals to your brain, which is actually the seeing organ. The actual process by which you look at an object and see is an astounding process that involves light waves, chemical reactions, electrical impulses that all work together with split-second precision. And that's how you are looking at me this morning. That's how you can just look down and you see words on a page and you look up and there it is. It is all part of this wonderful creation. It is all part of the amazing creation of our God. And this morning, I have drawn our attention to the wonders of physical eyesight only to use it as a backdrop to an even greater eyesight that God desires His children to have. God said, I've made you so that you can see. But what I want you to really do is be able to see and comprehend a whole other level of vision as well, and comprehension. And I was listening for it this morning, and I heard it time and time again, and I was blessed by it. Turn with me to Ephesians 1, chapter 1. I'm going to look at a verse, a text verse. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In verse 18, so text verse, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. And I'll just stop there because there's a whole lot of beautiful thoughts there, but I'm not really going to focus on that this morning. I want to draw our attention, and the message title is Eyes of Your Understanding. The Eyes of Your Understanding. This week, my mind was drawn numerous times to this thought of spiritual eyesight. It was a thought that came to me earlier on in the week, and it just sort of stayed with me, and I mulled it over and I thought about it, and I was thinking about how it works in my life, and also I was thinking too of the many times that scriptures talk about seeing. If you go to, it's all through scripture, and we're going to look at some of those verses, but I was impressed how often it was in the Old Testament, particularly in Isaiah, as he talked about this what was going to come. He was prophesying of a spiritual understanding and vision that was going to be brought more and more to mankind as God rolled out the plans that he had for us. Jesus points out numerous times the importance of spiritual eyesight. Take a look at Matthew 13. Let's just go there and look at a few verses there. And verse 10. I'm going to read about five or six verses here. Let's look at verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speak ye thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Matthew 13, verse 11, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and by seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, everything I believe that Jesus was saying there can be wrapped up and can be summed up in this statement that there was people who were standing there before him and they had their eyes open. They saw Jesus. They saw the man, but they did not see the message. They could not understand what it was. He was on a different wavelength. And one of the reasons for that was it wasn't because he was so far, like sometimes people talk to you about some for technical or very complex or complicated item. And you say, I don't get it. You lost me there. Okay. That's because you didn't have enough knowledge. But here he says that there are those, the reason they don't see is because they have their eyes closed. They've made a choice. They don't understand because they've chosen not to see it because of what it will do in their hearts. They already know. There is an innate knowledge that spiritual vision will do something in my heart. And so they were choosing to reject this message. And there's many other verses that speak of spiritual eyesight. Another word that's used in Scripture very often is the word light. And I believe that word many times is used to define truth that is only seen with the spiritual eye. Turn with me to John chapter 1. Let's look at a few verses of light. You know this passage of Scripture. It has light so many times, it's amazing. John chapter 1. And think about the eyes of your understanding. Think about spiritual vision, being able to see. It says here in verse 4, in Him, speaking of Christ, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The eyes of your understanding. In Him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the truth revealed to us, comprehended by that spiritual vision. In that, He became the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was those, there again, referring to what Jesus said. There's those of you who are not able to see the light because of your darkness. You're not willing to see it. You have a scales on your eyes. There is something on your heart that is stopping this flow of light and truth into your hearts. They couldn't comprehend it. John came to bear witness of this light. The same came in verse 7, to bear witness of the light, truth, that all men through him might believe. He was not, let's see, where am I at? Verses to verse 9. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Speaking of John, was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know what, this morning there is a lot of talk about light. There is a mystical New Age teaching of light. Coming to the light, and it's this thing of, and I'm going to tell you something. There's something really real about it. This isn't just a pipe dream. There is a reality. It's this part of the spiritual darkness, though, of coming to some light, some understanding of who I am, and usually that person ends up becoming a god in his own mind because he's come to the fullness of the light. That person is the one who cannot comprehend the true light. The truth, the light of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, this morning, the reason that I need this message and you need this message, because each one of us must comprehend a little fuller this light, because that is how God accomplishes His will in my life. That's how I become who He wants me to be. You know, well, let's just look at a few more verses. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Just turn back with me to that, 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. A reason why they were not, the eyes of their understanding were closed, because their deeds were evil. It's their choice, and they want to keep it that way. And men love darkness rather than light. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. Eyes of your understanding. There is a very simple explanation of how it is that the eyes of my understanding open and continue to open. And continue to develop. And that light becomes brighter and more distinct in my own life. Now, thinking about the eyes of our understanding. Yesterday, as I was going about the day, quite frankly, if there was a message that I struggled with more, it was this one. I don't want to tell you when I think I finally moved off of zero on this one, on this message. Because I thought there was a plan that I thought there was I knew there was something here that I wanted to speak on, that I was grappling with myself, and yet as I went to try to pull it together, I struggled a lot. Yesterday, as I went about my day, I was sort of had a full day with a number of things. We have a project at home we were working on, and it seemed like it was the right thing to do to finish it, and there was a fair amount of things on my mind. It was just the responsibility of church life, the souls that we care for, and that I was thinking about. There was things that needed to be done that involved the Bangladesh work, and there's family life that was a part of my day yesterday, and dealing with that. And there was some work life issues that I was involved in. And oh yes, this message and this message for tomorrow. Yes, where is that message going to go? And so I guess I'm just sharing some personal experience. And then last evening we had to run a few errands. Yet as a family went into town, and we stopped to get gas and at Sheets on the way home. And across the road there's the Canal Inn restaurant bar basically. And a whole group, as I was getting my gas, there was a whole group of bikes over there, motorcycles. And it was sort of a rowdy group. They were laughing and guffawing, and they all jumped on their bikes and with a tremendous noise left the place. I can't say that I long or covet a bike, but do you know what I saw there? I just saw some freedom. And I looked, there was a man over here pumping gas beside me in his bike, and I looked at him, I looked at his bike. And I got back in the vehicle, and I said to my wife, when I see the prosperity of the wicked, my feet well nigh slip. It just felt that way. So last night, as I tried to proceed to see some fulfillment of bringing this message together, I decided to go look at that verse in Psalm. I thought I misquoted it a little. And so I went to Psalm 73, and I was amazed what I found there. Turn with me to Psalm 73. I want to just look at this passage, because this passage really, really explains a man who was struggling with having eyes of understanding. And if you'll look here, I'm going to just look at this passage and we're going to work our way through it. He opens the passage by saying this: truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Now, this first verse connects to the end of the chapter. It's sort of like he got up here in front and he got up and he said, he wanted to give a testimony. He got up here and he said, truly God is good to the disciples of Christ, to Israel, God is good. Amen? Amen. And then he said, now I want to tell you something, though. Here is my experience. This is what I just went through. He said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone and my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Verse 2, he's telling about it. He says, now, this has been my experience. And verse 3 through 12, what we're reading here, he's telling us about what he sees with his natural eye, his natural vision. He sees this. He said, their pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. They're proud people. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They can say what they want. They do. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. I see someone who was looking around him, and he was, well, I almost need to look at the next couple of verses for you yet to get the picture of why he was seeing what he was, or why he felt the way that he did. He said this in verse 13, But me, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. He doesn't have freedom to just say what he wants. He restrained himself. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He said, I have been diligently trying. I've been diligently serving God. I've been giving up those things that my flesh desires. I've been restraining my tongue. I've been cleansing my heart. But he says it was in vain. It's how he felt about it. He said it was in vain because look at the wicked. Look at them. There they go. They pull in with the Escalades. They're laughing. They're having a good time. It looks that way. They're going to the big sporting events. They're doing things. They're not tied down with 7, 8, 10 children. They just go. They weren't up all night with 2 or 3 sick ones because they don't have those 2 or 3. And he said, but for me, he said, I was giving up all of these things. I was willing to be constrained by who God was. I was doing that. And he said, it depressed me. He says, when I thought to know in verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. It was too painful to hurt. It made me blue. I wondered why. I wondered, is this what life is? But you know the rest of it, at least probably many of you know the rest of this chapter. It's not a new one. Until verse 17, I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Until I went in. Until God was able to show to me who he is. When this man again saw God, when he saw the end of the wicked, as soon as you see God, you see judgment on sin. Because he's holy, because he's just, because he's righteous. And he said, I saw it. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Speaking of the wicked, thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they're brought into desolation. They're destroyed. It's but for a moment. It's just the blink of an eye. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou wakest, thou shalt despise their image. God's going to despise. He despises their image. He's not going to. He does despise the wicked. And he will bring judgment upon them, the eyes of your understanding. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. He realized that it was wrong. I was not totaling things upright. When God, when the eyes of his understanding were opened again, he actually was grieved in his heart because of his foolishness. Because he was actually thinking that the wicked, the ungodly, he actually desired to be one of them. He actually, for a moment, so foolish was I and ignorant, verse 22. I was as a beast before thee. I was as a beast. Is there any beasts here this morning? I saw a few hands. I think probably all of you would have raised them. We become as beasts, just an old cow, just a goat. When the eyes of our understanding are opened, we see ourselves for who we are. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me. I'm starting to see a connection between verse 1 now and where the writer is. Nevertheless, I'm continually with me. Thou hast holden me by my right hand, the love and the mercy of God. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Now that, brothers and sisters, is understanding. That is light. That is the eyes of our understanding is being opened here. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. I see a picture here that is a picture that is painted in the New Testament of the relationship between Christ and the church and a man and his wife. You know, when a man says to his wife, There's none but thee. I have none other but thee. The writer here is saying, there is none but thee. There's only God. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. We spoke last Sunday of this treasure that we have in an earthen vessel. This morning, this message really is just about the earthen vessel. That's what it is. The earthen vessel really struggles with this eye of understanding because so many things begin to fog that. There's just scales that come between so easily. But he's saying here, I see a man who has an understanding of this treasure that he has. He said, my flesh and my heart faileth. He has this treasure in this earthen vessel, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed them, all of them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Brothers and sisters, it's so easy for us, to go whoring after. And there's things that pull on our heartstrings. And then, just as this writer here did, the psalmist here did, in this portion of scriptures, we need to go back, and we need to come before the presence of God. We need to see again who God is. And as we do that, it takes us back to the scriptures there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where those things we see beyond the temporal, and we see the eternal, and it's part of the eyes of our understanding. Turn with me back to Ephesians chapter 1. Why is the eye of our understanding? Why was Paul concerned? Paul says in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 1, he ceases not to give thanks for you, speaking of the Ephesian church, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He could have just said light. That he would give you light. Truth, and so that the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, there is the word, I didn't really think about that, being enlightened, that you may know, there is a very important reason why our spiritual vision must be corrected, must be unfettered, must be kept clear, because you and I this morning need to think about, we need to comprehend in our hearts the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Do you know those? It is true that when those motorcycles pulled out of there yesterday, the power that was exerted almost pulls the driver away from those handlebars. The very throttle that he's pressing, he has to grip tightly to be able to hang on to that. But Paul says, if you could but see the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him far above principalities and powers and might and put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. That power, that hope that the Christian has today far exceeds anything that this natural eye so easily gets caught up with. It just does. And yet, sometimes our feet well nigh slip when we see it. Why is this so practical for us today? How should this? I don't know how else we can discern what it is that God wants us to do. How it is that this light and this truth that comes to us through Jesus Christ, how it is that we are to apply that to our lives today. Young people, those of us who are in the middle of life, busy with our families and being part of this American culture, it's about, we're in that cycle of paying our bills and our mortgages and providing for our own and giving employment to others. But somehow we need the eyes of the understanding of what Christ would have us to do. That light must flow into our hearts to help us determine the way forward. Because I can tell you it gets to be a blur sometimes. It's a little unclear. And what is it that we should do? What is God asking us to do? And how should this decision look in my life today? Did you ever feel like Elisha's servant who saw the enemy encompass the city and said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Do you know the account? They were there. Just for a moment, it's slipping my mind which enemy it was that had gathered around the city. Basically, what it was is it became knowledge to the king that Elisha was telling the enemies of this king what it was that he was instructing. In other words, he was giving the battle plans. Elisha knew God was giving him this wisdom. And so the king said, "All right." He put together a group of men and said, "You go get Elisha." So in the morning, when Elisha got up early in the morning, he saw the enemy all compassed around the city. They had it choked off. And his servant was with him, and he said this, "What shall we do?" And then God opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw the mountains full of horses and chariots of fire. I mean, it wasn't just an equal force. It was a insurmountable. It didn't even compare. And this morning, that is what that's the importance of the eyes of our understanding being open, that we could see the greater calling, that we could see beyond today, that we could see who is going to be the victor in all of this. This morning, we need eyes of understanding to navigate through a world full of blinded people. It's a world full of blinded people. We cannot get our direction for life from the philosophies, the psychologists of today's world and their thinking. They have a different light. It's a different light that's shining into their hearts and into their minds. And so just for a closing thought, so I have maybe 5 or 6 points that items that I want to just list this morning. And there could be many more, and I feel like I could have spent more time on this end of the message. But simply is this: the eyes of our understanding, eyes of understanding, as we see it here in Ephesians 1, is key to understanding, first of all, our great salvation. I think that's part of what brought the psalmist around. When he entered into the presence, into the sanctuary, and then he saw the great salvation of God. How that he is good to Israel, as he said it there. And he saw that salvation. So the keys of our understanding, the eyes of our understanding is key to understanding our great salvation. Our eyes of understanding is key to filtering the lies that the devil throws at us through our natural eyesight. He does. He uses the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All around us, he uses it. The natural glitter, our eyes fix on it. We see it, and it's a direct connection into our heart. And we got to do something with it. And so he's saying, this morning, I believe, the eyes of our understanding, of our spiritual understanding, helps us to filter the lies that are thrown at us every day. The eyes of our understanding help us to divide. It's key to dividing between right and wrong today. There are many choices. There are many choices that we can make. And there's many that we do have to make. They help us to divide between that. The eyes of our understanding is key to comprehending the end of the wicked. The end of the wicked. I can tell you, I walked outside of my porch last night, 10:30, 11 o'clock, and the neighbors were having a party down there. And they were, I think you could say, howling at the moon. Some of the hoops and the hollers and the music. You know, I've heard those parties descend into fights, though, too. Sometimes they can't even make it to the end of the party, let alone waking up this morning. What are they feeling? The lie is that there's a whole lot less. It's just easier not to be buckling under a sermon for tomorrow morning and a party down the road. The natural eye, the natural ear connects to that and says, it's easier. It's a lie, brethren and sisters. Not only is it a lie today, but it also is an eternal lie. It's an eternal lie. It really is. Comprehending the end of the wicked. Understand, the eyes of our understanding is key to allowing God to accomplish what He wills with our lives. So what am I going to do? How am I going to determine His will for my life? His will for my business? His will for my family? His will. How am I going to? And it's only going to be, not only, it's going to be only through the eyes of our understanding, which I believe encompasses the Spirit of God, it encompasses the Word of God, and it encompasses spiritual brotherhood. But it's all part of this light that comes to us through the eye of our understanding, allowing God to enter into our hearts through Jesus Christ and to change us. And maybe my last point, somewhat redundant here, but the eyes of our understanding is key to having an eternal perspective. I'll say it again because it leaks away so quickly from me. But can I see that this is but for a moment? Can I see that? Do you know what? 20 years from now or less, I won't have two or three children throwing up all night. They're going to be gone. Grown up. That's just one little example. But can I even see 20, 40 years from now? 40 years. I'll be 75, 76. Really? Eternal perspective. It's just so short. It's gone, but for a moment. And those Harleys, those 50, 40-year-olds that I saw, I believe the life that they were being a part of there had to do with alcohol, and I know it had to do with cigarettes, and I know it. Do you know what? That life's going to end pretty fast. And I almost wondered, because two or three minutes after they left, a state police officer went by at high speed, and maybe one of them wrecked already. It's just for a moment. It's so short. One day, brothers and sisters, we will see with our natural eye the final chapter of earthly vision. We're going the vision that you and I have right now, we're going to see with our natural eye the final chapter, and turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. This is just a closing verse. Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia and across the globe today. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and to the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of this earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every what? I shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. That verse tells me that there is going to come a day yet when every natural eye is going to see what for some of us the spiritual eye has always seen. The one that our eye of our understanding sees. When we come into the sanctuary of God, when we see God, we know that there is this day. And that he will come, and that every eye is going to see that return. That is part today of our eyes of understanding that the Christian has, knowing that truth. Let's allow that to sober us. Let's allow that to motivate us. And let's allow that to cause us to inspect my own spiritual understanding, the light that's coming into my life. Are my feet well nigh slipping, or can I stand on the solid rock of spiritual understanding, of the eye, the vision, it being able to see? Okay, what does Jesus say about us today? What does he say? As we read some of those verses, this light came, but it was not comprehended because of the darkness. Because of the darkness. Let's allow God to inspect our hearts. He will not hide himself from us. That's the best part. This isn't trickery. It's not so complicated. It's just coming before him and saying, God, I want to see your light. I want to understand who you are. I want the light of truth in my life. Open the eyes of my understanding. Let's kneel together for prayer. Father, which art in heaven, we come before you this morning. And again, we've looked into your word. There are things here that are beyond us. They are deeper than us. And yet, Lord, we reach out for the great truth of your word, the light of the gospel, the light of the word that's been given unto us. Oh God, help us to see where it is that the darkness is pushing back against this light. And help us to be willing to allow your light flow into our hearts and to continue to convert our hearts as you desire to. Forgive us, Lord, for where our feet have well nigh slipped. Help us to see the end of the wicked, the death and the judgment in eternity and even today. Bless this little assembly, Lord. I pray that we could grow, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, and that we'd be enlarged, and that there be a larger pipeline passageway for your light to flow into our hearts as we comprehend and understand and become more like you. I believe it's the desire of each heart, so help us, O God, we pray. We ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.